Come on, come on, come on. Let's give it up for Jesus in the house. Listen, look at your neighbor and say, there's more to do. Okay, that was weaker than pond water. You got to say it again. Look at your neighbor and say, there's more to do. Listen, there's so much more to do. Listen, we do Passion Week every single year. Been doing it for the last 4 or 5 years, the week before Easter, but we also serve almost every month, some way, form, or fashion. We got outreach pages that people go and sign up to serve all the time on a regular basis. But listen, God has called us to be in the community on a regular basis. God says to get outside these four walls for our church. That's what we do because we really want to minister to the community around us, because there's a lot of people that don't go to church, that are unchurched, de-churched, prodigals, who do not know Christ. And we believe that every time we go out and serve the community, it's one brick at a time that builds the bridge that allows the gospel to cross. It's strong enough for the gospel to cross for people to trust in who Jesus is. And so we're trying to build bridges with the hands and feet of Christ serving on a regular basis. So I want to tell those who are here today who came and served last week and who has served before at our church, thank you from the bottom of our heart for going out and making Jesus known to other people by the way you give your life away. And then the second people I want to talk to, for those that tithe, for those that give here, listen, there's no way we could have done what we did last week anywhere if it wasn't for those who give here. And so we want to tell you thank you also for all that you do to impact the world around us. Now, listen, there is more. We got Jasper, we got Arab, we got Coleman campuses. These are the cities that we're in. These are the counties and the communities that we affect. But listen, God's got more he's calling us to. He's calling us to Blount County. He's calling us to Oneonta. He's calling us to Winfield and Fayette. And he's calling us to all over different places we don't even know yet. And there are people that we have not even met yet, that we have not even met yet, that God wants us to affect some way, form, or fashion. And what you do, what we do today, determines on what we do in the future. And so the vision, honestly, the vision at our church is large. It's gigantic. It's going to take leaders, and it's going to take finances, and more than anything else, it's going to take the presence of God to make it happen. And listen, it's going to take all of us. It's not just me or the staff that makes it happen. It takes our whole entire church to make it happen. And you're going to hear me talking a little bit more about it today. We got one little short life on this earth. And I want to make an impact with through the church, through God's design. It's the bride of Christ. Through with each other, moving the kingdom of God forward together. And so listen, I want to right now, before we go any further in the message, I want to pray for the places we've not even gone to yet, to the places we've not been at yet, that we know for a fact that God's called us to, okay? And so I want us to pray right now that God would allow the vision of our church to move forward in large, large ways, okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Y'all cool with that? We cool? Yeah, I like prayer. We in church. I guess I can pray. Hi. Well, let's pray. I just ask God to move. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we don't want to waste our life in the generation you chose us to place us in. And God, we know that it's going to take everything that we've got, all of us, God, to make the things that you put in our heart to happen. God, it's a community. It's the people that make the church thrive, God. It's your presence. It's you who are here in us that makes the church thrive. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would move in large ways, that, God, you would challenge us, that you would move us individually in our own personal lives, and then, God, as a family, as the body of Christ, that you would use us for your glory and for your honor. God, we love you, we praise you, and we lift you up in your name. And everybody said, amen. It was a great prayer, Brother Andy. Thank you, man. Hey, listen. Can we just welcome everybody watching online right now? Come on, give it up for everybody online. Glad you're watching. I hope God speaks to you. Pray that he does. I think he will. Hey, we are starting a new series today, and I'm hoping and praying that it speaks to you. It challenges you. Maybe it answers some questions for you with God. Maybe it's something in your own personal life that God will answer for you. Maybe there'll be some conviction that comes with it. Remember, we believe that conviction is a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. It makes us more like Jesus, which produces abundant life in us. And so prayerfully, God will use, starting today, the message today, to help us in our life understand God a little bit better, all right? What we're going to talk about, the series is called What to Do When. What to Do When. And what we're talking about today is what to do when bad things happen to good people. What to do when bad things happen to good people. Now listen, this is an age-old question that I believe has been around forever. I have people ask me all the time, why do bad things happen to good people? Now listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think I can answer this question 100%. I don't think anybody can answer this question 100% to the fullest of knowledge that this is exactly why I know bad things happen to good people. I think it's one of those things to wait till we have to get to heaven before we can really completely 100% understand every bit of it. Now, one thing I need you to understand, there's a great possibility that today could be a little heavy for some people. I believe that today could be heavy for people in this room because I believe it's probably going to bring up maybe some memories, and I don't want you to leave. Don't leave. Stay here because I really believe God wants to minister to you today. I believe it's going to bring up some things that's happened in your life maybe that might hurt a little bit, that might bring up some pain. But what we're praying for is that God heals you, that God meets you right where you are, and he does something large in your life. Listen, the one thing that I know for a fact out of everybody in this room, from all the way over here, all the way up through the balcony, all the way to this side, there's not a person in this room that's never experienced something in their life that's horrific. Everybody here has experienced something in your life, more than likely, that has been horrific in your life. Everybody here has experienced a trial. Everybody here has experienced tribulations. Everybody here has experienced difficult times. Everybody here has probably had questions for God of why. I'm going to step out and say that everybody in this room has experienced difficult times. And listen, there's probably people in this room that think, you really think that you're the only person who has gone through what you're going through. But what I want you to understand is that there's a great possibility that the enemy has lied to you, and there's a great possibility that there are people in this room who have gone through the identical thing that you've gone through that could actually help you if you wouldn't let the enemy isolate you and cause you to be lonely in the middle of needing somebody that's gone through what you've gone through. And the only way you do that is to get out of what the enemy wants to hold you back in, and that's fear and isolation, and let somebody else, let God use somebody else in your life to help you walk through the difficulties in your life, okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about why do bad things happen to good people. And honestly, I believe if I was to answer the real question, the thing that I think I can answer the most for you today is what to do when bad things happen to good people. What do you do when bad things happen to good people? Now, the first thing I would want you to see right off the bat of why does bad things happen to good people is this. Is the main reason why I believe, this is one of the reasons why I believe bad things happen to good people, is that this world that we live in is cursed. It's cursed with sin. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, God had banished them from the garden and basically told them that because of sin, this world is not cursed. And he gives a whole chapter to it, basically, of all the things that's going to happen because sin has now entered into the world. And so because of what took place with Adam and Eve in the garden, we are still a part of that today. All right. And so, you know, one of the things that I really need to clarify before we go any further, and I gotta be really gingerly, saying this, all right? Because listen, I don't want to say gender, okay, male or female, that's what we're gonna do. I'm just kidding, gingerly. Here's what we need to do to clarify some things. And I'm hoping I can say this, and I need you to understand where I'm coming from. The first thing I need you to understand more than anything else, is that when we say good people, why do bad things happen to good people? Honestly, that's just another form of religion. It's another form of religion. Because basically what we're saying is we come back to this whole idea that we talk about at our church on a regular basis. We come back to this idea of my good outweighs my bad. Man, I've been a good person. I've tried to do what's right my whole entire life. Man, I've done all these things the right way. And man, I just feel like, man, my life should not have much turmoil in it. When in reality, the Bible says completely different. This is going to hurt a little bit, and I need you to understand where I'm coming from, all right? The Bible says that no one's good, not one person. The reason why that is because of sin. And so to say, why do bad things happen to good people? Basically, you're saying like, hey, my good has outweighed my bad. Nothing bad should ever really happen to me. But if that's true, then what about Paul, who probably planted more churches than any church planter ever in the history of mankind, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This dude was in prison the majority of his life and was martyred for Christ. If there was anybody good out there, I would step out and say it was that cat. I think about Job. I think about David, who had to run from Saul for 12 years, who was a man after God's own heart. I mean, we could just go on down the list. If that's true, I would step out and say, those dudes' lives are better than mine. But yet they went through trials and tribulations in their life. And so when the Bible says no one's good, basically the only person that makes us good is the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us is Jesus. And because of Jesus, when God looks at us, he sees us as children of God, as good. And so whenever we come to this place of thinking like, my good, my morals, my good has outweighed my bad, really, we're walking in religion and missing the gospel, okay? The Bible says very plainly that the rain, that when it rains on the just and the unjust at the same time. That the world that we live in, hey, even lost people are blessed by the things that God gives us, but they're also cursed by the things that take place on this earth. All right, and so there's a lot of questions I cannot answer. I can't give you 100% why things happen, but I can give you that much. All right, and so whenever bad things happen, there's two ways to respond. Either you can run from God or you can run to God. We're gonna come back to that. So first thing is, why do bad things happen to good people? Because this world is cursed. The second thing I would want you to see is when bad things happen, the enemy has a goal. When bad things happen, and it happens to all of us, there's nobody in this room that's going to escape horrific things, difficult things. Nobody in this room is going to live a bliss, perfect life. That's what heaven's about, all right? So nobody's going to escape. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm just trying to be real with you. But here's what I need you to know is that when bad things happen, the enemy has a goal. And the one thing I know for a fact is that when bad things happen, the enemy uses bad things, trials, tribulations, difficulties, sufferings. He uses it to his advantage. He's a dirty fighter. He is nasty. He is salty. He is not good. He hates your guts with a passion. What's the Bible say? We say it every single week. The Bible says that the enemy hates you. How do I know that? Because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. And because he don't care what's happening in your life, because he could care less what's going on with you and the pain and the suffering that you're going through, what he wants to do is he wants to use it towards his advantage to trap you and to knock you out of the race, to keep you from being who God's called you to be. That's one thing I know for a fact. He hits below the belt. He's a dirty fighter. When I was growing up, I was a lover, not a fighter, but I was around a lot of dirty fighters. And listen, the enemy is the dirtiest of them all. He don't care about you, and when you're down, he wants to take you out. And can I tell you something? Out of a crowd this size, there's a great possibility he already has with some of you. But God loves you so much that he just happened to bring you today to hear about who he is. Because he loves you. You know, while you're weak and while you're struggling, what happens is a lot of times when difficulties, trials, and tribulations comes our way, is the time that we really start to question God. We begin to ask a lot of why questions. How many of you have asked why questions before to God? Throw your hands up. I think that's just about all of us. All of us begin to ask why questions. And what happens is the enemy takes advantage of that. He begins to whisper in your ear questions like this. How in the world could a loving God allow something like this to happen? How in the world could a loving God allow something like this to happen? There's no way he's a loving God. Listen, he is not who he says he is. Now, let me stop right here and give a little commercial break. Remember, I started off by saying this is going to be a heavy message, and I meant to say this at the very beginning. If you're here today and you've gone through a hard time or you're dealing with something now, something horrific, hey, it's okay to cry today. It's okay to cry every week, but it's okay. And let me challenge the people sitting next to him, whether you know them or not. If something like that happens with people around you, hey, won't you reach out and just pray for them while you just sit there? Don't do it out loud. It'd be really awkward, but pray for them. Ask the Lord to minister to them, pour his spirit out on them, and touch them. And by the way, if you're single and you're a dude and it's a hot girl that's crying beside you, don't touch her. Just pray to yourself. Look the other way and pray. I know your game. I got you. All right? So just pray. Because it's going to be a time that God wants to move in people's lives today, and it could shed some tears. Just throwing that out there. So the enemy begins to ask questions. There's, you know, how could he be a loving God? You know, that's how the enemy always, that's how he always battles with us. That's how he always gets us caught in traps. You realize that's what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. You realize that, right? When Adam and Eve was staring at the fruit, or Eve was, he came and asked questions. Is God who he really says he is? He begins to do this. He begins to get you to doubt God's character. If he can get you to doubt God's character and get you to buy into the doubt, then he's trapped you. He's got you right where he wants you. Listen, God's most compelling and life-changing characteristic is his love for you. That's what should change our lives. Not fear, but love. When we understand God's unconditional love for us, when we've turned our back against him, when we have nothing to do, he still pursues us and chases us and rescues us. That's what should propel us to have a relationship with Jesus. So if the enemy can get you to doubt his love, which is, I believe, the number one attack of the enemy, then he can get you in a place to make you feel like God is against you more than he is for you. And if he can ever get you to that place, if he can ever get you to the place of believing that God is not for me, he wins. And it goes way down there, way downhill from there. You know, there's a great possibility that there are people in here that might be going through a difficult time or have before. And man, you feel like your prayers are just hitting the ceiling. Man, you feel like God is a million miles away from you, that God cares about other people more than he does you. God's just answering that. Man, I'm just sitting in here in worship. Man, I'm just seeing all these people just throw their hands up and worship. And man, they're just experiencing the presence of God. And I don't feel him anywhere. Like, God, where are you? How many of you asked God that before? Come on, be honest. God, where you at? Listen, that's me. I got both my hands up. I've asked God that before. But what I've learned over the years is that God's not called us to walk by feelings, but God's called us to walk by faith. And I've got to trust what the Word of God says. I've got to believe what the Bible says. And what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 34, verse 18, is that God is close to the brokenhearted. Whether you feel him or not, God is close to the brokenhearted. God is close to the brokenhearted. God is close to the brokenhearted. Why is he close to the brokenhearted? Because he's madly in love with you. He desires to be next to you. So if the enemy can get you to doubt God's character, he's going to get you in a trap that's dangerous. And so when he gets you to a place of doubt God's character, the second thing he does is the enemy wants to destroy you and your calling. If you're here today and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you because you're a child of God, you're a believer, I believe everybody in this room has a calling some way, form, or fashion. Everybody, if you're a believer, if you're walking with Jesus and you're a child of God, you have a calling. Everybody in this room has a calling. God didn't just create you to take up space on this earth. He placed within you his Holy Spirit so that you would live out who God is, that your calling is to make the name of Jesus famous. It's to glorify him. So what does the enemy want to do? Is if he could get you to doubt the character of God, if he could get you to doubt God's greatest character, which is his love, then he begins to destroy your calling. It's a trap. What happens is then he can begin to steal everything God wants to do in your life. Did I just hear the Old Spice whistle? I think I just heard it. Anyway, that's pretty weird. Listen, I just called it out because everybody else heard it. Awkward. I just called it. Listen. So if he gets you caught in a trap, it can happen. Listen, trusting God in the difficult times, and I don't understand this. This is going to be some questions I have for God. These are those things that I don't really completely understand. But I do know for a fact what happens is that in the difficult times, if we respond with Jesus, if we respond correctly, it's what makes us stronger in our faith, and it makes us different when we respond with Jesus, when we respond correctly with God. And the enemy knows that. The enemy knows that if you respond by running from God instead of running to God, he's got you right where he wants you. It's a trap. So if he can get you down the road of being angry with God, mad at God, frustrated with God, questioning God, what happens is your heart begins to get crusty and you begin to hold on to bitterness with God, and the enemy wins. The enemy wins. Why? Because you're no longer walking who God's called you to be. You can't walk in who God's called you to be and have a crusty heart towards God. The enemy knows that. That's why he wants you to buy into the false questions that he throws at you on a regular basis. And so if he can get you to doubt God's character, and he can get you to the place of trying to destroy your calling, your purpose here on this earth, which is to make the name of Jesus famous. The other thing that goes right alongside all those, that parallels all those things that the enemy tries to do, his goal is to get you to run from God and not run to God. His goal is to do everything he can to get you to run from God as hard as possible instead of running to God. Now, there's a great possibility in this room today that there are people who are running from God. And God is just so crazy in love with you that he just brought you here today to call you out in a loving way. That I brought you here to let you know that if you're running from me, I'm still chasing you. There's a great possibility there are people in this room running from God because something horrific has happened in your life. And you started doubting God's character. And honestly, the only person you could really blame, which honestly is the easiest person you can blame, is God. I mean, there's a place where you've been in church long enough, lived in the South long enough. We live in the Bible Belt. You've heard long enough that God is sovereign. So if you feel like God is all powerful, you begin to think like, well, God could stop things. I don't understand why. You can't send me emails this week. Well, why don't he? I don't know. I don't completely understand, but I know if we respond right, he can use it. You know, there's a great possibility there's some of you in here that maybe you're not running from God just hardcore. You're out of breath from running from him. But maybe there's people in this room that will tell you, man, I used to walk with God just hardcore. And then something crazy happened in my life. And, you know, I'm still walking with him, but I'm not pursuing him like I used to. Well, why is that? Is it because you bought into the lies of the enemy? Are you in the trap that God wants to set you free from, release you from? Listen, if you're here today and you run from God, it will lead to worse turmoil in your life. And you got to stop allowing the enemy to win and let your faith in God help you through the difficult time. Listen, I don't know what you're dealing with. Death, disease, infertility, abuse, prodigals. I have no clue. But I will tell you this, you're not the only one. Even though the devil tells you you're the only one, you're not the only one that are dealing with what you're going with. I promise you. So the third point and the last point, and the one that I need, everything I said leads up to this. I need you honed in. I need you to kind of tuned in. If you fell asleep, if you're looking at Facebook, just lay it down for just a little bit. Pick it back up later. I need you focused in because I need you to see the character of God. Okay? So what do you do? What do you do when bad things happen to good people? To godly people? This is what John 16:33 says. It says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows. Here on this earth, you'll have a few. Nope. You'll have some. Here on this earth, you'll have a couple. No. Here on this earth, you'll have many. Many. A lot of trials and tribulations. Jesus says this. He didn't say, hey, if you give your life to me, everything's going to be hunky-dory. Hey, it's always funny how God always gets the blame, but you never hear anybody say, I can't believe Satan's doing this to me. You don't hear that much. This world is cursed with sin, and the enemy is, the Bible says, he is the heir of this world. That he moves, trying to destroy people's lives. Which he wants to cause havoc in your life, but if you respond right. In this world, you'll have many trials and tribulations, but here's the promise. Here's the hope. He says, But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Come on. Here's what I believe Jesus is saying, that in this world, we're going to have a lot of trials and tribulations. And the enemy is a dirty fighter. And he's going to do everything he can to get you to question the character of God as much as he can. And he's going to do everything he can to get you to run from God as hard as you can. And while the enemy is screaming in your spirit to run from him. He don't love you. He cares nothing about, run from him. Well, where are you going to run to? When the enemy's screaming to run from God, that he's not good, that he's not loving, God's whispering to you to run to him, to crawl up underneath him and let him give you comfort. You know, the reason why I believe that Jesus says, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. You know, but to take heart means to be strong with me. Know this, live by this, walk with me. You want peace? I've come so you can have peace. How do you have peace? You take heart in me. But take heart in me. Don't take, listen, what he's saying is whenever you're walking in difficult times, take heart with me in the middle of hard times. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Take heart with me. Don't take heart and try to find hope in your finances. Don't try to find hope in the American dream. Don't try to find peace in counseling, which, by the way, there's absolutely nothing wrong with counseling. I think all of us need counseling, but if that's the only place you're putting your hope is in counseling, then you're missing it. Jesus says, I have come so that you may have peace. You can only have peace in Jesus. You can't have peace anywhere else. Jesus is saying, I want you to find peace in me. I don't want you to find peace anywhere else. So take heart in me. Be strong with me. Live with me. Walk with me. Crawl up underneath me. Why? Because I've overcome the world. I believe that phrase of I have overcome the world is twofold. I believe I overcome the world means everything you're dealing with. I believe this is the first thing. I believe he's saying that everything you're dealing with, everything you're experiencing, everything that you're walking through, I've gone through it too. Everything you're dealing with, I've experienced it. And so if there's anybody in this world that knows what you're going through, Jesus is saying, it's me. And I overcame it. So why don't you let me help you overcome it also? If you'll just walk with me, I can walk with you, help you through it. And so what Jesus is saying, while the enemy's screaming, run from God, God is saying, run to me, get up underneath me, let me protect you, let me hold you, let me comfort you, let me minister to you while you're going through the valley of these things in life. Crawl up underneath me, let me hold you, let me love you, let me wrap you up. Why? Because I've overcome these things. I know exactly how you feel, and I know exactly how to comfort you. Let me speak words of life into you while it feels like death is about to swallow you. Let me wrap you up. See, Jesus experienced death, disease. God knows what it's like to lose a child. Jesus has experienced everything that you go through. False accusations, hate, everything that the world throws at you, the trials and tribulations, Jesus has gone through it. And he says, I know what you feel like. Let me walk with you. The second thing that I believe I have overcome the world, it also means that Jesus overcame evil. He overcame disease and sickness and death and difficulties and hate and suffering and infertility. He overcame all those things through the cross. And so when you're feeling weak and you feel powerless because of the cross, because Jesus died, he was buried, and because he rose again, if you're a child of God and you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. And so because Jesus lives in you, when you go through trials and tribulations in your life here, he wants to give you the power to walk through it with him. I've overcome the grave so that I can help you overcome the things in your life that you're dealing with. I want to give you the power and I want to give you the strength to walk through it. Now let's get heart to heart here. If you're here today and for some reason you're angry with God today, or maybe something happened a long time ago and your heart's still crusty, but you feel like you've kind of got past it, but you still got a lot of questions with God, and you're still not really walking in your full passion with Jesus. Because you're still angry a little bit, you're bitter with him. Then there's got to be a place where something's got to happen in your life. And I want to challenge you with something that might seem a little crazy to you, might seem a little nuts to you, but I believe it'll help you if you'll just listen to me. Now, if you're here today and you're angry with God, I would say you need to let him know about it. So like, well, hold on. Well, God already knows about it, but you need to confess it. You need to tell him. I'm like, well, that's God. Well, listen, God's got his big boy britches on, I promise you. If there's anybody in this world that can handle it, he can. Not only did Jesus die for our sins, but he also died for our bitterness that a lot of times the enemy has put in our heart towards him. That we've kind of conjured up in our own heart towards him. He died for that also. So if there's anybody that understands, if there's anybody that you can let know your frustrations, it would be Jesus. It would be God. And so here's what I want to challenge you with. It's going to seem a little weird for some of you, all right? Some of you probably need to do this, but we never will. Now look, here's how you do it. I want to give you something that I think if you're angry, you need to go do this. Now you need to do it when nobody else is at home. Because if you do this when other people are at home, they're going to think you're going mentally crazy, and they're going to put you in a white room with padding in, and they're going to wrap you up in a white jacket, all right? Because they're going to think you're a little crazy. So you do it when nobody else is looking, when nobody else is at home. And here's what I challenge you with. For those that are angry and frustrated and bitter towards God, I want you to go to your bedroom. And by the way, people at our church has heard me use this illustration. This is for people that have never heard this before. I've used this before. I want you to go to your bedroom. I want you to lay on your bed. I want you to lay on your mattress. And I want you to play pretend like you did when you was a kid. Some of y'all are adults and still play pretend like. I do. Listen, I want you to play pretend like. And I want you to pretend like that your mattress is the chest of God. What I want you to do is I want you to scream as loud as you can. Your frustrations, your anger. I want you to tell God everything that you feel and everything that you have towards him because of the horrific things that's happened in your life. I want you to beat the chest of God as hard as you can. I want you to yell as loud as you can. Let God know how you feel. You know you've wanted to do it forever. So lay on your bed, beat the chest of God, yell, let him know your frustrations and your anger. And when you're so tired that you can't beat the chest of God anymore, your throat is so raw because you're screaming and yelling at God, and you can't just yell anymore, I want you to just lay in the chest of God and just let him hold you for a little bit, because that's really what he wants to do. I want you to lay in the chest of God. Just let him hold you. So many of you running from God so hard. You're mad at him. He's screaming. He's been hollering at you, whispering to you, whatever it takes to get you to come home. And all he wants you to do is just lay on his chest and let him hold you. Take heart, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Let me wrap you up. Won't you listen to the devil? He's a liar. Don't run from me. Run to me. Come to me. Come to me. Let me wrap you up. Let me love you. I got a calling. I got something larger for you than you'll ever know. All you got to do is let me restore you. Let me heal you. Let me take that crusty heart and soften it again. Come on now. Let me wrap you up. You got to run to the Father. You know what? There's one thing that I know about God for a fact. Even though there's suffering in our world, there's trials and tribulations in our world. And by the way, I know it's a lot easier for me to stand up here and preach this message than for a lot of you guys in this room to hear it. Because you're thinking like, preacher, you ain't got no clue what I've gone through, and you're 100% right, but God does. And I know the enemy wants you to run from God as hard as possible. I know that now. I don't know what you've gone through. Listen, man, there's people I look at, and I'm like, oh my God. God, how are they still standing? I could never in a million years ever think about losing one of my babies, my children. There's no way possible I could ever imagine infertility, some of the things that a lot of women are going through. I could never in a million years come close to even feeling what it's like to be abused physically, sexually, verbally. I don't know what it's like to have a prodigal. I mean, my daughter's in middle school. I mean, she might be close. But I can't look at you, but I do know how the devil works. And I do know that God wants to heal you. The one thing I know about God, I know I have no clue what you're dealing with, and it hurts me. I hate it. But I know this for a fact, is that God is good. He's a good father. He's a good God. He's a good father. And the devil wants you to think that he is not good. Yes, he is. And he told us that we'll go through hard times, but man, crawl up underneath me. Let me show you my goodness. In the middle of hell, let me walk with you. Because I'm good. Listen, you got two ways to respond. You can run to the Father and let him be good to you so that he can heal you, or you can run from him. Walk in bitterness and turmoil the rest of your life and have a hard heart. God wants to heal you. Here's the one thing I know for a fact. I don't understand this again. Just being honest. You know, preachers don't know everything, I promise you. The one thing I know is that if you respond with Jesus, if you respond with Jesus, he will take your pain and use it as his platform. It will become your calling. If you respond with Jesus, he will take your mess and make it his message. If you respond with Jesus, like, it's so hard, I want to be mad at somebody. Well, be mad at the enemy. Be mad at sin. Run to the one that wants to walk with you. Don't be mad at the one that wants to help you. Because here's what happens. Listen to me, this is how large it is. When you respond with Jesus, this is what happens. Listen, there's a lot of you I cannot look at eyeball to eyeball and say, I know exactly what you're going through. I've never had those things that I just mentioned just a minute ago ever happen to me personally. I can't look at you and say, I know exactly what you're going through. But because I know people in this room right here who have responded with Jesus, who have gone through exactly what you're going through, who have gone through infertility, who have gone through abuse, who have gone through death, I can look at you and say, hey, hang on one second. I want you to meet somebody. And because somebody has responded with Jesus, I can take this person, connect them with a person that's got questions, that's weak, that's powerless, that's hurting, and say, this person can look at you eyeball to eyeball because they responded with Christ. They got them to the other side. Is the pain gone? Is the difficulty? No, but they're walking strong with Jesus. He can help you get to the other side. And what I can do is I can connect the two. See, you think you're the only one in this room that's going through what you're going through, but you're not. There are other people sitting in this room that's gone through what you've gone through that wants to walk beside you, but because you let the enemy lie to you and it's kept you isolated and lonely, you're missing out with the people that can grab your hand and walk through life with you and help you get to the other side. If you're here today and you respond with Jesus, if you're here today and you respond with Jesus, and you allow him to heal you and restore you and rebuild you, what happens is the other person that comes down the road that is going through the exact same thing, you can grab their hand while Jesus grabs the other hand, and you can help walk them to healing. See, your pain can be your purpose. It can be your platform that God uses. I don't understand why God chooses it that way. But he can use you if you just respond with him. There are people in this room that need you. And then there are people in this room that need others. But there are people in this room that need you. And if you continue to walk bitter towards God, how in the world can God use what you're going through to help other people get set free? He wants to use you. You know, just being a pastor, I've done and been to a jillion different funerals for people. And I tell you, God always works with me in a backwards kind of way. I guess he has to speak to me different than he does a lot of people, but it's always the strangest places that God speaks to me. I can remember when I worked at the church I was at before I came here, I worked with students a lot, and I'd have students that would lose grandparents that would pass away. And I had no clue who the grandparent was, and I'd go to the funeral home, or I'd go to the church where they was doing the service, and I'd go in support of the kid, the student that was there. And I'd usually sit in the back just to support them. And I wouldn't have a clue who was in the coffin in the front. And I can remember God literally speaking to me more than once. This has happened more than once. But I can remember, I remember one time specifically, there was a guy that died. He was 88 years old. And so, you know, the preacher's preaching and talking about the guy that lived there. That lived there. I hope he didn't live there. That's kind of weird. That died. He's talking about this guy's life. And, you know, I'm sitting back here thinking, and so was everybody else, like, 88 years old, man, that's a good life. That's a good, long life. Boy, I sure hope I live to be 88. I'm going to start eating a little cleaner. You know, I'm hope I get there. I want to lay down the cigarettes. I just hope I get there, you know. 88's a good life. Sitting in the back, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to me. At a funeral of somebody I don't even know. He says, Andy, you know that guy that's 88 that's lived that long, good life? You realize, Andy, he was 46 at one time, the same age you are right now. He was 46. And now he's gone. And you know, Andy, there's a great possibility at 46, you live more than half your life. Half your life is done. I mean, I'd love to live to be 92, but I think that's math right, too. Camera one, yeah, 92. But I've lived probably more than half my life. And God begins to speak to me. He says, Andy, that guy was 46 at one time. You lived more than half your life. You finished strong. The last part of your life, you finished strong. And all I hear him screaming in my spirit or whispering in my spirit is, don't you waste your life. Don't you waste your life. Don't you waste your life. And you got one shot. Half of it's already gone. You finished strong. Don't you waste your life. Don't waste it on the mundane things of this world. Don't waste it on the American dream. Don't waste your life by being bitter and angry at people. Don't you harbor unforgiveness. Your life's too short to hold on to unforgiveness. Your life is too short to have a hard heart. Your life is too short to live angry. Your life is way too short, Andy. You live it sold out fully, passionately with me. Have I done that 100%? No, because I'm a fallen man. But God reminds me on a regular basis, don't waste your life. So I try to live by that every day. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Again, we don't need to waste our lives. So I'll tell you the same thing God told me. Listen, I didn't even know this guy. I'm back here crying like a baby. They think something's wrong with me. I'm weeping. I'm like a baby. Just because it's the voice of God speaking. So I tell you the same thing. Don't wait. You don't know if you've lived half your life. Some of us may have lived 3/4 of our life, but God's given us today. So start with today and don't waste it. And then God, if God blesses you enough to get your feet up and put them on the floor tomorrow, grants you another day, don't you waste that day. It's a gift of God. Don't waste it on being angry. Don't waste it on being bitter. Don't waste it on unforgiveness. You harboring unforgiveness in your life, the enemy's stolen some of your calling. There's more. There's more to do. And on one little short life on this earth, God chose us for this generation. And I don't have time to waste it on the American dream.
I don't have time to waste my life on being bitter at the person next to her or my family members. I don't have time. You don't have time. We don't have time. We got to get to work for the kingdom. And that's giving our lives away to other people for the sake of Jesus. I don't have time in my life not to respond with Jesus in horrific times. I haven't got time to listen to the lies of the enemy. There's too many people that need Jesus. I can't walk out of my calling because something bad's happening. Listen, we can't. That's why we need each other. That's why it's important to get to small groups. That's why it's important to get around other people. That's why it's important to come to church. I'm cool with watching things online. But the only way you get to know people is when you get involved with people. Where you at? Where you at with Jesus? Life's too short. Come on now. Let him heal that crusty heart. That's all he wants to do. That's why he brought you here. Because he's in love with you. Let him heal you, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you.